Welcome to Recovery Stories Yukon. The purpose of this podcast is to break stigmas, bring hope, and show that recovery is possible within our communities. Today on the show, we have Wiley. He is 45 years old, sober since March 1st, 2022, and currently residing in Whitehorse. Welcome, Wiley.
Thank you very much, Capri.
And if you can share your journey with addiction and how it started.
I started long before I was born. My biological parents, my mom grew up in the Klabik Northwest Territories, and when she got pregnant with me at the young age of 17 years old, she was heavily into drugs and alcohol. She told me later at the age of 18 that she did not have the mental capacity to be able to look after me. So she had at that point given me up for adoption. I distinctly remember being given up, being passed from my mother's arms to probably a social worker's arms. I was passed around to three or four foster homes within the community of Klabik and Nuvik. My adopted mother came up and started seeing me from the age of four, I think. And by August 23rd of 1984, I was arriving in 40 Mile, which is down about 60 miles downriver from Dawson City. Lived out in the bush. We ran dog sled to maintain our trapping lifestyle. So I gotten used to it at a young age of four and a half. My mom and my dad would make their own beer, helping my mom clean and wash out beer bottles, sterilizing them, and just watching them fill up the bottles with this stuff that I didn't know. I just know that wasn't for me to drink. 7 or 8 years old, at Christmas time, my mom allowed me to have a glass of wine. Maybe a couple years down the road, my dad had let me have some beer. By the time 13 years came around, because I lived out there in the bush, so I lived a very solitude life. Dogs were my only friends. The only friends that we had were 11 miles away by a dog team, and we visited in the wintertime. So after the first couple drinks, going to town, we go to town one day for 6 hours once a week. I felt very isolated, very alone, not knowing what was going on, because coming from the bush style, going into a town where kids had all of their like Nintendos and their Sega Genesis's. And I got into town, the first drug that I got myself involved in, probably 13, was marijuana. Smoking that in behind the old farmer's market with these kids from in town, you know. The bullier kids, you know. So I figured I was tough. I could hang around with these people, do what they did, because I thought they were the cool kids. So smoking weed. Yeah, and like it was a very weird feeling, and so I didn't really like that. And so these kids had told me about another way to get high was to go and buy Gravol, like the anti-nausea medication from the drugstore. And so I had gone in and I had stolen a pink box of Gravol. And my parents had gone down south to go visit their parents, deal with estate problems. And they brought in one of their old-time friends to come and babysit me out there just to make sure, you know. And I had these pills, so I decided that I would take these pills. I took about six of them to start off, did some motorcycling and stuff, came back, didn't feel nothing, so not knowing what the effects or anything was, I had drunk a bottle of my mom's homemade wine to begin with, and I woke up with such a hangover. I swore I was never going to drink again, never touch alcohol again. That I got drunk, I would black out. And I don't know, I didn't know why. By the time I had taken the second set of six Gravol, I was out beyond. I only have scattered bits of memory here and there. When I had woken up from my supposed high, I can't even remember what I was seeing, but I was hallucinating beyond. When I woke up, there was a hole in my parents' roof. I successfully managed to take a rifle down my mom's 30-06. I was convinced there was a bear in the house and it was chasing me. But what it was my dog. And so when I seen him, my brain thought bear, and so I went to go shoot him, shot a hole through the roof. And when I woke up, my dog wouldn't come near me. There was a hole in the roof, and the whole house looked like a bear had gone through it. It was trash. I had to fix it. It was all fixable, but that had scared me to almost to a point of sobriety for a while. And then by the age of 15, we had moved into town. All this and stuff because my mom worked at the nursing station in Dawson City. And so she had a medicine chest. And I came across five vials of Demerol. And I'm like, in my little brain, I'm like, okay, what are these for? And so I researched it up on encyclopedias, decided, okay, well, I'm going to try this. The first initial administration of Demerol was equal or similar to the effects of heroin because it is a derivative of heroin. For the injection, at the age of 14 or 15, I went through that. No one else was there. There was no push on it. There was no pressure. Curiosity, my own self curiosity, drove me to try it out and see. And again, I still wasn't sure about why I was doing it. I know now it was because I was trying to hide a little bit from my past. So after I'd done that, I had gone back to smoking weed and eating mushrooms, and I loved mushrooms. We would go out on these drinking binges, right? And we'd go and they'd go get a bottle of vodka. We'd climb up all around the Moosehide Slide, lose your glasses, come back down, pass out at his mom's place, and then wake up in the morning, both blind as bats, and go up the hill with another bottle and try and find the glasses. I knew at that point in time that was not something the normal people that drank did. And he didn't know that I had a problem. Continuously blacking out. I was finding myself in situations. And the next morning, I'm like, oh, why? How did I get here? Why is this happening to me? I was starting to black out on a regular basis. I started waking up in the morning, not really caring. Wake up in a drunk tank. Oh, here I am again, not really caring. Not knowing why I was ending up there, not really caring about anything. I started taking substances when I was blacking out. I had gone to the hospital and I was Narcan. I was kicked out of my place that I had. I lost the job. I had figured, okay, well, enough of this. Drinking is going to kill me. So I figured I'd try the relocation. And I got the city bus out of town. I said, I had my stuff packed on my back. I said, I'm going to leave town. I'm going to go down south. I hitchhiked, got off the bus at the top of Robert Service Way, hitchhiked there for about 15 minutes. These nice people came along, said they were going to Edmonton. I'm like, okay, well, that's down south. Stayed there for about a week. I think I did ecstasy once there. And then I hitchhiked my way to Kamloops, BC, because they got a job. I had a job working at a one of the resorts on the Two Swap Lakes. I went there, worked for about a week, stayed there for 3 days, and then hitchhiked to Kelowna. And this girl, and she was talking to me all about methamphetamine, right? And I was like, hey, that sounds like something. So I go into labor temporary jobs. I go work there for a day. I got paid like $60. I was walking downtown to go get a Mickey, and sit by the lake. Well, I run into these people. They sell me some mushrooms, and so I go on my mushroom trip. And then later on that evening, probably around 9 or 10 at night, I'm cruising the back alley because I want to know, because I was given a name and a drug to go and find it to do. I'm like, okay, well, here's my arm. Put out my arm for this guy to shoot me up with methamphetamine. I was like full of energy. Enough energy to walk the streets at night. Enough energy to go back to the temp place in the morning, go get a job. Enough energy to do my job throughout the day. Come back that night. I go to go get some more. And then this time I get a full point for $10. And I get that. And I'm tweaked. I'm like, wow, this is like the greatest stuff on it. This is better than spaghetti and lasagna. For the first year, I let the drug take me. I let the drug use me. So I was hallucinating. I was seeing things out there. I was up for days on end. So I didn't know what this stuff was. So the first year, I was very like, go, 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 go for like a week or 10 days or whatnot. I do not know the kind of person I was. After the first year, I had taken a break, taken a week break, and I went back on it, and that's when I had learned how to start using the drug rather than let the drug use me. I'd gotten involved in with selling crack cocaine. I was doing meth, so I wasn't using the meth and crack. In fact, I had gotten so to the point where I hated crack, right? But I sold it because I sold that to maintain my habit. Yeah, I treated crack kids like they were bottom of the list, you know. I've gone through a lot of experiences in those 10 years of meth use. My kid's mom, we started going out. I was still jabbing rigs by then. We've gone out 2 weeks. She told me the stories about how her dad had passed away through using needles and stuff. And so by the end of the 2nd week, I had stopped doing needles. So it's been like 13 or 14 years needle free for me. And I'm very proud of that fact. There are days where I can sit there and I can remember, and I look at my arms, and I know the story of my arms. I know where I've had the infections come up. I've used dirty needles that I've sterilized myself. I've used sharpened needles. I have shared needles with a couple people, and all this with the full knowledge of like danger, danger, danger in the back of my head. But with the calling of the drugs, that danger, danger, danger turns into like silence, right? I don't listen to it. I don't hear it. I don't. Job for the drugs had gotten so bad for me. I had, by that point, I had gone to three treatment centers down south, all native based. I went to Tanaka Kinbasket Wellness Center. I did a court ordered 42-day program there. I went back on the street. I stayed clean for a week, but places, things, and people got me back into my drug use because I didn't have a place to stay. I was sleeping on the street, no support services. The second time I went to treatment, which was again about a year later, either I go to jail for 3 months or I go to a treatment center because gotten an assault charge, and I was headed to jail. So I went back to the same treatment center. I did that program, and so I had started getting into this helping people with their addictions. And this was like in 2007. 2006, 2007, completed that program with more of an open mind because it was somewhere where I had wanted to go. I wanted to learn about myself. And the third time I went to treatment was Day Treatment Center in Vernon. So I was there. And then the fourth one, I had to go out because that's 10 years, 11 years ago when my daughter was born. We both, me and the kid's mom, were sober for about a year prior to her being born. Ministry had come in and they'd taken away, and they told us to jump the ropes, and so we jumped the ropes. Both of us went off to treatment center. She had went off to Round Lake. I had gone off to through Three Voices of Healing. Came back. I gotten a sponsor. I was going to AA on a daily basis. Got involved in with Vernon Family Center, which it kept me busy because I had a job. I go there, do nutritional programming for all these mothers and their newborns. Yeah, we lived there for a couple of years. I had maintained 6.5 years of sobriety. Then my dad got sick, came up to Dawson. And that's when I had a drink with my dad because it was like, okay, well, so pretty much the whole 2 weeks were there. I was drinking with my dad on and off. Went back down, so climbed back onto the wagon by November 24th. But after I heard that my dad had died, I was straight back into the booze, and I did not want to remember. I did not want to understand or let go of the fact that, hey, I needed to let go. So continued on this journey until February 28th. I had was all fully into drugs, like crack cocaine. I was fully into alcohol. I was messing my life up. I was messing with my job. I had managed to go. I think my first time I was supposed to go to treatment was January 23rd of 2022. That got postponed till February 19th, and then it got postponed until the 28th, when they could be able to fly me down. I got down here to Whitehorse, but then there was a flight delay. They put me up in the hotel at the Yukon Inn. I was drinking. I was using, and I had my last $200. I went to go score, and I got ripped off. I was mad. I was upset. I was kicking things around. I got down into the treatment center. I fell asleep. I got up in time for my flight. And on my flight down, I was thinking, well, maybe, you know what? It was probably a good thing. You know, who knows what was in that, who, what would have been in that $200? Who knows? Right? 'Cause that's when the opioid crisis started, or maybe it was already started in 2022, March of, but I'm not sure. So it was all touch and base. I go down there to Cedars Recovery at Cobble Hill. I do their 48-day program. I come back up to Dawson. I'm doing good. Go back to my job, doing good. Kept alcohol free, except for like 3 weeks ago. I had that beer. I think I lasted about a year. And then I started back in on the crack cocaine use. I had just finished my program. My last use of crack cocaine was on January 6th of this year, 2024. I had come down here to Mental Wellness and Substance Use on Sarah Steele, at the Sarah Steele Building. I went there before Christmas on the 11th of December because I didn't want to go through Christmas tweaked out, sick, high, waiting for the guy to come and drop off more because I wanted to be there with my kids. I wanted to be more presentable. So I did the 10-day detox treatment center. I asked them, I said, I want to do the program down here. They made all the motions to go through. They said, call back after the second of, get you back in, get me back into the treatment center on the second. I had been phoning, but they extended me until the 8th before I could get a bed there. So I had stayed up in Dawson. My last use was on the 6th. I think I had, because I graduated the detox on the 21st of December. So between the 21st and the 6th of January, I had 3 binges, usually about 2 days. Since the 6th, I was 2 days clean, arrived down 2 o'clock in the morning. They kept me down in detox just because I told them, yeah, I did have the the last use on the 6th. So they just want to keep me there overnight. And then by the morning, they had me upstairs. I graduated treatment center on the 19th of February. By that time, I had gotten all my affairs in order while doing my programming. I got signed up with Safe at Home. I got signed up with Grey Mountain Housing, Yukon Housing. I had quit my job with Yukon Territory government. I was on a roll to just figuring out what I could do down here. I would apply for welfare. And also, I was just doing some volunteer work, going to my AA meetings, and with a lot of my own self-awareness of my own teachings that I've learned. Cedars really brought that forth, but I did not know how to use the tools. So Cedars taught me how to use the tools. For example, like SMART, sustainable, measurable, achievable recovery techniques, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And then there's the HOV, which is a hierarchy of values. And so all of these tools and a few others there, really was able to, and it has helped me. I can make my choices much more idealistic. I'm not reaching for things that can be done tomorrow. I'm just staying more in the present. Because there's been a few times where I thought about going back and using. But with the dangers of now today, like one use could be my last, right? And so I'm very grateful. I learned when Cedars that they taught me is change is a part of life. I had to change my mind from wanting the obsession for alcohol. I want to change my mind for the obsession from doing drugs. And I am very proud to be able to sit here and tell you, Capri, that roughly about 3.5 weeks ago, that affliction for the craving of drugs, the mental part that is like there every day, was taken away. So I don't know if that's like that spiritual awakening that AA talks about, but that's what I have. And I know that for today, that's how I base my life around too. It's just for today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about yesterday. Just for today, I will pray for the Creator, for the wisdom, the bravery, and for the strength to be able to get through my cravings and my urges, for my alcoholism, and for my addict. Prayer every day, every morning, and it helps me so much. When I go to my Tuesday night alcoholic meetings, I sit there and I listen. When I went a long time ago, I would get so upset if I was missed and I was the last person and I didn't get to speak. I was like, I wanted to speak. But I didn't realize that in this recovery thing, it is listening. And so I pride myself upon listening to people. I go to elders now and I learn the seven teachings, the seven sacred teachings. We're learning on the land stuff. I'm learning medicines about around out here, you know, and that's all stuff connected to the ground. So every day I have a grounding. My grounding is connecting to Mother Earth, and it's way more fruitful than sitting back worrying, but where am I going to get my next hit? Who am I going to swindle or manipulate to get money to be able to get my next hit? I'm very thankful to be free of that addiction today.
I want to thank you so much for being here today, Wiley, and for sharing your story.
I thank you too, Capri.
Thank you for listening. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, you can get help by calling the Yukon Government Mental Wellness and Substance Use Services at 1-866-456-3838 or by reaching out to Theki Anate Fly Like an Eagle program at 867-333-2497. If you would like to share your story on this podcast, please email recoverystoriesyukon@gmail.com.